Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos, joined by Josh McGrath Sagan. We don't have two of our hosts. We don't have Aaron Zerfus, and we do not have Tyler Sear. Tyler is actually going to join us later for a little bit of an interview during our NHL segment. But for right now, we're just going to stay with just two of us right now. Intro, we're going to get into the NFL. Josh, do you have anything, any free agent news, anything like that to talk about?
Well, my boys, my Cowboys, we unfortunately have released Amari Cooper. He is now signed with the Browns. That's kind of a tough one. We re-signed Michael...
Gallup.
Michael Gallup to a five-year deal for $62 million. So not too bad, but interesting that we gave up one of our better receivers for that. I know he wanted a bit of money, but interesting. Also, obviously, in other big news, Tom Brady has announced that he's unretiring from football. I think kind of, I know you were very on that train with, you know, there's no way he stays retired. It's kind of funny because, like, spends a few months with the family and he's like, nah, I got to go back play football.
I knew it. I did say this earlier. I'll believe it when I see that he's not playing next year. And you know what? It's literally been, he retired about a month ago.
Yeah, maybe, I think it was not even. I think it was like 2 months, right?
Yeah, he just decided, yeah, spent some time with Giselle and the kids and he's like, we need to go back. Yeah. So
dad life, not for me.
He's now back in the NFL and, yeah, he's coming back. I guess I also think it was he didn't want to end on a loss because, you know, he lost to the Rams in the NFC Championship last year. I think he was like, we need to come back, run it back again. And yeah, the Bucs also just traded for a longtime New England Patriots guard, Shaq Mason, has been really good for a lot of years for the Patriots. And he's familiar with Tom Brady, obviously, because he played with Tom Brady in New England. So now, because the Bucs starting right guard Ali Marpet retired a few days ago, so they just replaced him like that. They just traded for Shaq Mason, really good pickup for them, really good to protect Tom Brady, because now the Bucs offensive line is looking very good again after they lost a few bodies in free agency and due to retirement. But yeah, Tom Brady's back. Not a huge fan of Tom Brady, as we know, but you know, I don't know when he's gonna retire. I can't wait until he retires again.
Also, Buccaneers are expected to sign ex-Falcons wide receiver Russell Gage. That should be a pretty decent pickup for them, considering, yeah, like you said, they have to kind of reconstruct the roster now because a lot of players decided to leave. Randy Gregory is expected to sign with the Broncos. Very unfortunate for my Cowboys. But we're pushing for Von Miller.
Yeah, Von Miller is a big name to watch in free agency, yeah, because he either might go back to Denver, but he might not anymore because obviously Randy Gregory just signed with Denver. So, yeah, the Cowboys are named to watch to sign Von Miller. Von Miller obviously won a Super Bowl with the Rams like a month ago now, and yep, he was a big piece in that. He actually had two sacks in the Super Bowl. One of the best edge rushers of all time. Von Miller would be a great pickup for any team. I'm hoping my team, the Bills, signs Chandler Jones. He's a free agent now. We've got a few days here. I've just been refreshing Twitter every few hours to see if we've signed Chandler Jones. Nobody signed him yet. I really hope we do because the Bills need a pass rusher. We don't have any pass rushers. Well, our pass rush is terrible. Mahomes was just running around us the whole game of 2 months ago now. And, yeah, it was terrible. We need a pass rusher. A lot of big free agent news, though. We have a few other free agent pickups here.
Dolphins scoop Cedric Wilson from the Cowboys as well.
Yeah, another Cowboys receiver leaving. That's two Cowboys receivers that are leaving now. So now the Cowboys receivers are CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, and they don't have a number three right now. I'm not sure who the number three is going to be, but looks like CeeDee Lamb in his third year this year is going to be their leading receiver. Now he's going to be their number one, so it should be interesting to see how he picks up that role after Amari Cooper went to the Browns. And as we know, with Baker Mayfield, they got OBJ a few years ago. Everybody thought the Browns were going to be this big, good team, and then Baker really showed that he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, even though he was a number one pick a few years ago. I don't think Amari Cooper's going to have much success with Baker because, as I said, Baker sucks.
Yeah,
he's not good. And Jarvis Landry actually just got released as well by the Browns. So the Browns don't have any receivers beside Amari Cooper. I'm not sure what they're trying to do. I'm not sure where Jarvis Landry's going to sign. He might be a name to sign for the Chiefs because the Chiefs actually need a number two receiver because they have Tyreek Hill, obviously, and then they have Travis Kelce at tight end, but they need a number two. They haven't had a number two good receiver in quite some time, and that's something they could use, even though their offense is already deadly. But it's another, you know, a big piece for them that they could use.
I think for the Chiefs, they should be really focusing on their defense.
I agree.
I feel like that's something that's always kind of mess them up. But I think if they can figure out the defensive end, at least get a few key pieces, they are once again going to become one of those powerhouses in the league for us to see. But
Speaking of the Chiefs' defense, they actually did sign a safety. They signed Justin Reed from the Texans, who's he's on the Texans, so he doesn't get much recognition, but he's a really good player. He's a safety. He's going to take over for Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. He's going to take over for him because Mathieu, he wanted a lot of money. Chiefs don't want to pay him. Understandable. He's kind of overrated, in my opinion, but they didn't want to pay him, so then they went on and they signed Justin Reed, who's actually a really good pickup for them. He's a really good safety. I really like his game a lot. I think that's a really good signing for them. But, yeah, and they also, they looked like they were the Chiefs, staying on the Chiefs. They were going to release Frank Clark, their defensive end, but they decided to rework his contract to make him stay in KC, so they moved him his contract around, turned some of his salary into a signing bonus, so they freed up some cap space, and so they could sign some more guys. So the Chiefs are staying intact now. They're getting a lot of good pickups here. But yeah, there's been a lot going on, and we haven't even talked about this. The Chargers are turning into a super team before our eyes. They just traded a few days ago for Khalil Mack, one of the best pass rushers ever. I mean, he's just dominant.
Yeah, he's really good.
And so him and Joey Bosa on the same defensive line now. Joey Bosa, also one of the best pass rushers ever. He's so good. So their defense, the Chargers, they put a big emphasis on trying to get their defense better because their defense has been terrible for years now. And they have Joey Bosa on one side, pass rusher. Khalil Mack on one side, pass rusher. They just signed J.C. Jackson, a corner from New England. He was one of the best corners in the league for the last few years. He had, I think, 10 interceptions last year, which is it's a lot of interceptions.
That's a lot.
So they just signed him because they didn't need a corner. So now their defense looks scary. They have Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, J.C. Jackson. On the other side, they're going to have Asante Samuel Jr. He's going to be their cornerback on the second side. He's going to be the number two corner because they just drafted him a year ago. Asante Samuel, his dad, played for the Patriots and played for a lot. He was one of the best corners ever. He was so good. And now they have his son who's developing. He had a good rookie year last year. Now he's going to be in his second year. He's going to take on a bigger role. And they have Derwin James. I mean, they have so many good players on that defense, and they have Justin Herbert on offense, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. So the Chargers are they're looking pretty scary, to say the least. The AFC West in general, the Broncos now because they just got Russ. The Chargers are just getting pieces after pieces. I know the Raiders are looking for more receiver help because they don't have a receiver. And obviously the Chiefs. So the AFC West now has four good teams. So any matchup with AFC West teams is going to be just must-see TV next year.
Yeah. Also, another big signing is the Bengals have added two offensive linemen. They added Alex Kappa and Ted Karras to the offensive line. They also re-signed defensive tackle B.J. Hill. I like this move for the Bengals. They had a good defense last year. Their biggest issue definitely was their offensive line. So getting two new guys on the offensive line is going to definitely help Joe Burrow. So it'll be interesting to see kind of – I know you're thinking that they might get the – I don't remember what you called it.
The Super Bowl hangover?
Yeah, Super Bowl hangover where they're probably not going to make the playoffs next year, but we'll see. I don't know. If they make the right moves this offseason, they really could be another contender next year.
No, I agree. I like those moves a lot. I mean, Alex Kappa was a guard for the Bucs last year, and he was really good on the Bucs. Now he goes to Cincinnati, who we obviously, as we know, they need work on their offensive line. They allowed the most sacks in a playoff game ever.
Twice, right?
Yeah, against Tennessee, and they almost tied it in the Super Bowl with I think it was 7 or 8. And so, Joe Burrow was getting killed last year, and he still had a great year. So I can only imagine what Joe Burrow can do with a good offensive line, because now obviously you said they just signed two guards, two good offensive linemen. They needed that. And they might even draft an offensive lineman, too. Who knows? But the Bengals, I think I'm going to retract my statement because they had some good signings. And they have a lot of cap room. So just Joe Burrow still on his rookie deal, so they haven't given him a big contract yet. Advantage of that for sure.
And they're wide out, too.
Yeah, they have really good. Jamar Chase. He's so good.
He's a rookie, right?
He's a rookie, and he was one of the best receivers in the league last year. T. Higgins, third-year receiver, really good as well. He caught a touchdown on Jalen Ramsey in the Super Bowl. Obviously, that was a little controversial when Jalen Ramsey got his face mask grabbed, but it's okay. That doesn't matter. But, the Bengals looking like a really good team right now. Really good free agent signings. And the Steelers have just signed Bills cornerback Levi Wallace to a 2-year deal. Levi Wallace was our second cornerback. I'm not too upset about that. He's not good, so he can leave, go to the Steelers. That's fine with me. Actually, that's breaking news right now. Just had a little bit of a Ian Rappaport bomb there. But speaking of the Steelers, they actually just signed a quarterback yesterday, Mitch Trubisky. As we know, Mitch, he was a first round pick a few years ago. The Bears were really, he was really hyped going into it. He actually got picked before Deshaun Watson, and we're not going to get into Deshaun Watson, but yeah, Mitch Trubisky, he was supposed to be really good going into his rookie year, ended up being not so great, had a few bad years with Chicago, and then he went to the Bills last year, and he was our backup, and now he's going to get a chance to start for the Steelers, who need a quarterback, and I hope he does well. You know, I've always thought Mitch wasn't terrible, but he also is he's okay, he's not good, but he was never like the worst quarterback I've ever seen, if that's, I don't know how to put it like that, but yeah, he's going to get a chance to start with the Steelers next year, and hopefully he does well. And actually, you know what? Speaking of Deshaun Watson, his legal case all got dropped.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he's proven innocent because apparently, you know, if you're an athlete and you can just get proven innocent on anything, even if you're guilty. But yeah, he has a lot of interest now from the Panthers and from the Falcons and the Saints. So should be interesting to see who trades for him, because he's obviously, when he plays, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he's going to get a chance to start somewhere else because, I mean, the Houston's going to trade him or going to try to now that his legal stuff is all out of the way. And, yeah, if he goes to the Panthers, that'll be a good team. They have a good defense, good weapons on that team. And, yeah, Deshaun Watson is going to be back in the league this year after he took the whole year off last year because of his issues off the field.
Also, Titans have just released cornerback Janoris Jenkins. So he's now a free agent. See who goes after him. A few kickers got signed.
Young Waku with the Falcons was a really good kicker the last few years. Got a 5-year extension. Good for him. There's a lot of news here. I'm just trying to catch up here. Aaron Rodgers' contract is official today. So it was unofficial before. It's official now. So Aaron Rodgers is essentially going to get $50 million per year over 3 years. Then he'll likely retire. So he's going to get paid the most money in the league next year, or over the next 3 years, for a quarterback, that is. And, yeah, so let's see. Can the Packers finally get back to the Super Bowl? Can they win a Super Bowl? They've been choking quite a bit the last few years. Let's see if Rodgers can run it back and try to do something. Oh, and they also franchise tagged Devontae Adams, so he's not going to get a new contract yet. They're going to franchise tag him so they don't have to sign him yet. Yeah, so the Packers, they also just re-signed one of their pass rushers to a big deal, Devondre Campbell. Congrats to him. And the Jaguars are doing something in free agency, which is I'm not really used to. They're kind of just signing a bunch of mediocre guys for a lot of money. Like, they signed Christian Kirk for like 7 years, $80 million yesterday. Signed Zay Jones, former Bills receiver. Not that great of a receiver. They signed him for about $10 million a year. And they also signed Evan Ingram, former tight end for the Giants, who hasn't been that good either, but they signed him to a big deal as well. So the Jaguars are kind of just signing guys just randomly without like any, I don't know what they're trying to do, because none of those guys are good, really that good. They're kind of just mediocre, as I said. So the Jaguars doing some interesting things here. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I don't think there's much else. It will be an interesting football season,
Will be indeed. A lot of new faces on a lot of new teams, but we're going to throw it to a break. When we come back, we are going to talk about the NBA/UFC. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back after these few short messages, and stay tuned.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos, joined by Josh McGrath Sagan. Obviously, as we said earlier, don't have two of our hosts today, which is unfortunate, but it's all right. You know, we move. We do the best that we can with what we got. That's just how we do it.
Exactly.
So, Josh, we're going to throw it to the NBA, or do you want to start with the UFC? Up to you.
We'll do UFC first, just because it's pretty quick usually. Go ahead. All right, so this past weekend was a UFC fight night. I believe it was in the Apex. So to kick it off, Alex Pereira, the only guy to beat Israel Adesanya in kickboxing twice, knocked him out and won a decision. Actually came in, won a decision fight against Bruno Silva. Pretty interesting fight, pretty high level. Alex Pereira then just proceeded to call out the guy who's supposed to be fighting Izzy in a few months, Jared Cannonier. I thought that was a little weird. He clearly has no idea who is fighting who in this division at the moment. But I don't know. I don't think that's quite the fight for Alex Pereira. He's still pretty new to MMA overall, so it'll be interesting to see who he does get next, but I think it will be a ranked opponent. Drew Dober weathered the storm against Terrence McKinney. Terrence McKinney came out early in that fight, dropped Dober, and Dober regained his consciousness and ended up winning that fight by KO in the first round. So it was a pretty wild fight. Khalil Roundtree came in and it had a vicious knockout against Carl Roberson. That was a pretty fun fight as well. Khalil Roundtree, a veteran inside the octagon, a fighter that I always enjoy watching. I think he is looking good at lightweight or light heavyweight right now. So he's someone to kind of keep an eye on. He's kind of had a resurgence within his career. Sadiq Youssef, one guy I've been following since the Dana White Contender Series. Very fun fighter. He got a decision win over Alex, I can't say his last name, but pretty good fight. And then unfortunately, Marlon Moraes, a very high-level fighter at one point in his career, like literally just 3 years ago, was knocked out this past weekend by Song Yadong. And Marlon, it's unfortunate for him because he was just about to get a title fight. And then so he's pretty much, in my opinion, on a five-fight skid because he won that fight against Aldo, but I personally thought he lost. And then his next fight, knockout. Fight after that, knockout to Sandhagen. And then he got knocked out by... Who slept him last time? It was a bad knockout. I remember that. Let's see, 2021. Oh, yeah, Mareb. That was a really good fight. But, yeah, knockout. Lost to Font, knockout. Like, he's just been getting slept for quite some time now. And then even the Cejudo fight, like that was a pretty good fight up until Cejudo knocked him out in the third round. So, it's just not looking good for him right now. I think he kind of has to either change camps. And I know he's at Tiger Muay Thai right now, but not looking good for him at all. His chin's very weak. And then Magomed beat Thiago Santos in the main event. I unfortunately didn't get to watch this fight, but apparently it was a very boring fight. So I'm pretty happy that kind of missed that one.
We can get into, should we talk about one thing I was kind of looking forward to on Saturday? Because as we know earlier, last Sean O'Malley fight against Chris Moutinho, obviously Moutinho just got kind of battered in that fight, but I kind of wanted to see him fight against a lower level guy just to see how he would do, because he looks to have a pretty good chin. I mean, he didn't go down after the bombs he was taking.
Yeah.
So he did fight, and he got another TKO, standing TKO again in the first round, which I was kind of disappointed with. I wanted to see maybe he'd do better against a lower level guy. But he just doesn't really have any skill. He kind of just, his defense is terrible, his offense is terrible. So that one was kind of a write-off, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because I saw a lot of people, they're like, oh, that win for Sean O'Malley didn't age well. But I'm like, dude, he literally dominated him for five rounds. Like, he went in there.
It's true. And it could have got stopped way earlier.
Yeah, too. It could have been stopped so many different times. And the ref just let Chris fight, and I don't know why. Because
Herb Dean been kind of questionable recently,
for a very long time now. It's kind of sad, man. He's one of my favorite refs, and now he's just
I like him a lot too. But he's just
he just loves letting people fight, and I'm always like,
sometimes just you can't be doing that. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. But anyways,
Should we get into Greg Hardy getting released, or
yeah, that's a big one actually. Greg Hardy got released from the UFC after losing four straight fights to knockout. He is planning on signing with the PFL. I think that's really good for him, going to fight at a lower level of competition. Maybe he makes his way back into the UFC eventually, but yeah, right now it's not looking good for him. Like, Tai Tuivasa knocked him out, Volkov knocked him out. Like, he tried to be that guy to like jump in as a heavyweight to be like, oh, I'll come in last minute and take that fight, but like, it was just a terrible matchup for him. Like, he's a good athlete, but like, he doesn't have a skill set yet.
I just don't like Greg Hardy at all. Obviously, he used to be in the NFL. He was really good in the NFL, and then he, you know, strangled his wife. So and then he got released. So I'm just not a fan of him. You know, I don't support the wife beater. So
it was nice to see him get knocked out.
Yeah, no, I was a fan.
Yeah,
but we can get into. You want to talk about Paddy Pimblett? And because I actually have a video here.
I was just about to pull
of him and his opponent.
I was just about to introduce there to make our transition. So this weekend, the UFC is back in London for the first time in quite some time now because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So Tomáš Aspinall is fighting Alex Volkov, a.k.a. Drago, in the main event. I think that's a fun fight. It's going to put a lot of spotlight on both those gentlemen being back in London for the first time with fans. Aspinall has been one of the better heavyweight prospects inside the UFC. So it'll be kind of cool to see that because Alex Volkov is an absolute legend, high-level striker. So we'll see what Aspinall can do. Dan Hooker is fighting Arnold Allen in his return to the featherweight division. I don't know how I feel about this because whenever those type of guys drop in the weight, I always get nervous for them. It was like Garbrandt. I was like, oh, man, I'm super excited for Garbrandt. And then he went and got slept in the first round.
Garbrandt also just has a glass chin, to be honest.
True, so. True. Yeah. So, but that's the thing is Dan Hooker's chin is now in question because he's been knocked out four straight times at 155. So that's going to be a pretty good fight, him and Arnold Allen. I think Allen gets the win, but you never know. Dan Hooker is a grizzled veteran. And then, yeah, as Greg was saying, Paddy Pimblett is fighting Rodrigo Vargas in the third last fight of the card. I don't know. Like,
also, I know it wasn't even his opponent that he got into a scuffle with.
No, it was a different guy. I think it was the guy that's fighting at 155. So I don't know why they're. Oh, he's also 55. I didn't even realize. I thought he was fighting at 45. Pimblett. Anyways, Paddy the Batty. I don't know, man. Like, yes, his last fight was exciting, but I don't know if I believe the hype.
I don't either. No, I think
like, he fought at Cage Warriors, which is good. But like, when I've recently rewatched his fight, and he has no head movement. Can't do anything.
Yeah, he kind of just stands and throws.
He just throws. He just like throws and like his chin is on a straight line. So like,
I understand the hype behind him though because he's a character. You know,
he's a funny guy. But it's like I don't know. People are like, oh, he's crazy. But I'm like, he fought Cage Warriors. Like, it's not even a media market place. The only reason it's known is because that's where Conor came from at one point in his career. So yeah, I don't know how this fight's gonna go. I hope we get to see Pimblett do well, but he's fighting a savage, so it'll be kind of cool to see. Gunnar Nelson's also at the card. Last thing I'm going to point out before we go, for whatever reason, Paul Craig is on the undercard. He's on the prelim, and if I'm not mistaken, he's a ranked opponent, and he's always a fun guy to watch.
Yeah, that's odd.
So I don't know why he's on the prelim, and they put, like, 2 weeks ago, they put Alex Hernandez on the main card, and he got knocked out because he was complaining. It was super funny.
All right, anyways, we're going to move on to the NBA now. Because we got about 7 more minutes and we can talk about the NBA for about 7 minutes here.
Yeah, that's fine. Because the one thing I really want to touch upon is this month of March, already, it's only 15 days in. We still have another 15 days. Has been insane with scoring. It started with Tatum versus the Nets. He dropped 54.
Kyrie, he's so good.
Tatum's amazing, man. People hate on him. I don't know why. He's so good at basketball.
He's just so fun to watch,
dude. Yeah, he's smooth. Yeah. He's smooth with it. I always love watching those guys. Kyrie, he dropped 50 on the Hornets. It looked like a prime Kyrie performance. He did on 19 shots also, which is absurd. Absolutely absurd. He hit like 9 threes. So that was insane.
Oh, can we talk about how stupid the rule is, by the way, in New York, that like he can sit in the stands, but dude, he can't play?
Can't play. Can't go. They got fined $50,000 for him going to the locker room in between quarters.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, it's.
But just, he was allowed to be in the arena without his mask on.
I don't get it. Like, he makes no sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It made no sense. I don't get it.
Braun had 2 50-point games already this month. He had 56 against the Warriors, got the dub. 50 against Wizards, got the dub. We lost last night, though. So
here's actually the fine here. 50. Yeah, he did get fined $50,000 for going into the locker room. So
no, it wasn't even him. It was the team.
Oh, yeah. It was the team, yeah.
Yeah, team got fined $50,000. It was pretty sad. I was like, dude, this is crazy. Like, the state of New York. And then also, like, what the mayor said right before the game. He was like, Kyrie can play, get vaccinated, and then, like, walked off. I was like, dude, are you serious? I was like, you're going to let him go to the game? He's courtside, but he can't get in a jersey and play? That's insane.
Yeah, that is
absolutely insane. As we said,
it's a little odd. I don't really understand it. Like, what's the point? It just defeats the whole purpose of not.
Because what he said, it's because of they make people that work in the government there get vaccinated. So if they want to go to work, they have to be vaccinated. So it's like, I can't treat this guy with a special thing, but I just think that's kind of a dumb rule. KD 53 against the Knicks recently, and then the newest one, Karl Anthony Towns dropped 60, season high. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I literally whispered. I said that, hey, we lost last night. But yeah, Kat also dropped 60 against the Spurs on March 14th, which was crazy. Steph also had a 47-point game on his birthday in Draymond's return.
Yeah, he was really good last night.
Dude, he's always really good, but specifically last night.
Yeah, last night was crazy.
He was insane. Draymond also returned and said some stuff that he can still be Defensive Player of the Year. I'm like, dude, you literally missed like 5 weeks. Like, chill, bro.
I actually did watch this game. Thought it was really fun. Embiid and I think it was, I don't remember who it was, but I don't know, it was Harden and somebody on Denver.
Cousins.
Yeah, it was DeMarcus Cousins.
They got into
a little bit of a scuffle. And I just thought it was funny because I just think it's funny when Harden gets into scuffles because he's kind of just, I don't know, he's kind of soft in my opinion. He thinks he's really like, eh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just, this was a good game. Obviously, Jokic is so good.
Which also, I think it was at the time, they were both 1 and 2 in the MVP race.
Yep.
So, like, I was telling my friend last night at our open run, I was telling him, I was like, dude, this could be the solidifier for MVP. I was like, whoever has the better performance.
Actually, Embiid did have a better performance, but Denver did actually come out with the win 114 to 110.
I think In my personal opinion, I think Jokic should be the lock for MVP.
I agree.
The things he's done this season, losing his 2 and 3 guy on the roster, they're still
he pretty much just has a team with himself right now. He doesn't really have much help with all these guys out.
No, he's just unselfish. Like, he plays basketball the proper way in the sense that, like, moves the ball, trusts his teammates, doesn't always look for the last shot and stuff like that. But yeah, I think him. Obviously, though, like, yeah, if Giannis keeps doing this.
Yeah, he had a great game last night. Jeez.
But he does this like almost every night.
Yeah, that's kind of just a normal occurrence for him.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part. It's always like, I say Jokic, but I think about it, I'm like, but like, it's kind of rude not to say Giannis, because like, Giannis is, in my opinion, clear cut.
You see, I feel like
arguably the best player in the NBA right
now. With Giannis, it's like, it's kind of like the LeBron thing, right? Where it's like every year, it's like he could win MVP just with his performance. Because it's like LeBron was like that for a long time. He still kind of is like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you don't want to give the same guy MVP every year. But it's like, if Giannis deserves it, like, I mean, I feel like it's definitely, I think it's Jokic 1. I think it should be Giannis 2. And then it should be Embiid 3. But it's really just 1A, 1B, 1C, yeah, in my opinion.
It's crazy.
Because they're all just really good, obviously. Embiid is, I mean, I think Embiid's unreal, but I think right now, I think Jokic should be the front runner at this point in time.
Jokic is on a different level. Like, the passes that he can make.
And he's just so fun to watch. Like, yeah. It's just like the stuff he does.
Yeah. He's insane.
But look at this game. Look at the score of this game.
I know. And Kat had 60.
He's 60 in this game. Yeah, he did.
Dropped 60.
17 rebounds. Wow.
Yeah, Kat's disgusting, man. Oh, Anthony Edwards struggled last night. I haven't heard about him for a while now, actually. I think.
Yeah, his hype's kind of died down a little bit so far.
Yeah,
he
struggled since he said all that crazy stuff about how he's going to be like the best player in the league in like 3 years. It's like, no, you're not.
Giannis, yeah, he's a big talker. Giannis is still alive. He's a big talker.
He's hilarious, though.
He is a funny guy.
He's so funny.
I remember when he said in a press conference, he's like, oh, I don't even like basketball. I like football.
I want to play football, but like, I thought about it, and it's just like, I'm going to get more brain damage, so let's go make more money playing basketball. I was like, damn.
Hey, I got to respect it.
Yeah, smart guy. Yeah, man, going into the playoffs, my pick, I would still, my favorite, because.
Can we get your finals matchup prediction?
My finals matchup? I'm saying Warriors-Bucks.
Oh, okay, so it changed from last time, didn't it?
Yeah. I just think with Klay coming back, and like Klay, he just had a 38-point game like a few nights ago. That team full strength, and we haven't seen them like truthfully full strength, because I think the game Klay came back, like Draymond started, and then they immediately took a timeout and he left the game. Like, Dre was on the court and then he just left, I remember, and he's been out since. So the first time they're back full strength, and they looked good. They looked really good. And I think just the way they play basketball, it's very possible that they can do it. Yeah, and then the Bucks, I think they're just the best team in the East.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they beat the Nets. I think they beat Philly. I think so
too. Like, obviously, I kind of just want to go.
Sure.
I feel like I kind of want to go a rematch of last year, just because, you know, the Suns are just so good. I mean, obviously that the Warriors with full strength with all those players, and is Wiseman back too now?
He's in the G League right now, but even then, like, he's gonna come back and he's gonna play like pretty low minutes, I think, but. Even when he comes back, it's going to be a big addition for them. Like, if Looney gets into trouble, they have someone they can put in and not play their small ball.
I think we're going to see the Warriors and the Suns in the West Finals, and then we're going to see the Bucks and the Sixers in the East Finals. I think, or maybe we may even get a rematch with the Bucks and the Nets, but we'll see. I mean, that might even be a second round matchup. But I've always liked the Bucks. I've always been a believer in Bucks. I love Giannis. He's great. I think Middleton's kind of. I think he's kind of overrated, but you know, he's fine. They are a good defensive team. I'm not really a huge fan of Mike Budenholzer, to be honest. I think he's kind of I don't think he's a great coach. I think he doesn't adjust very well in big games. But obviously they won the championship last year, so
yeah. I think Budenholzer is a really good coach. You know, he had that stint in Atlanta where they had like one season they won like 50 something games without they had 4 All-Stars, but like none of them should have been All-Stars. They were that team was really good with like Joe Johnson, Josh Smith, Horford, Teague, Kyle Korver. And they won like 50-something games against, and then it was right before the Heat started popping off. But I think he's a good coach. I think I just think the Bucks roster is constructed to win. Tyreek Evans also just signed with their G League team, so he might be coming up to that team, which I think is a good addition for him. I think my pick would be Warriors Bucks. But yeah, the Warriors will have the work cut out for them against that Phoenix team.
All right, that has been our NBA segment. We might be a little bit over time here, but it's okay. We're gonna shift to when we come back. We're gonna go to a break right now. When we come back, we're gonna talk about the NHL and stay tuned for the NHL segment on the Press Box.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. Today I'm joined here by Josh McGrath-Sagan and Tyler Sear, who's going to be on the line with us. He just got his wisdom teeth out yesterday, so he's not in the studio. But we're going to start it off with some NHL. So, boys, what do you guys want to talk about for the NHL today?
Well, I know yesterday there was a big suspension with Austin Matthews getting the cross check. A lot of people on Twitter were pretty upset about it because, you know, they're saying that just because it's Austin Matthews, he got the suspension, but other people have done the same thing and they did not. So I think that's one thing we should definitely be chatting about.
Yeah, we can definitely talk about that. Obviously, as a Leafs fan, I saw it and everybody was complaining about it. I know it looked pretty bad. People were saying he shouldn't get suspended for that. I disagree. He definitely should get suspended for that. It was very bad. It definitely looked deliberate. He tried to say after that he was trying to go for his shoulder, but he definitely wasn't trying to go for the shoulder.
Man, listen. I can understand the whole reactionary thing and all that, but you know, I think Matthews should be a little happy that he only got two games instead of say four. Because in my opinion, that was a worthy of a four-game suspension. But again, Austin Matthews is one of the superstars of the National Hockey League. And you can't just, you know, give him four games for a deliberate, very deliberate cross-check that very clearly hit the chin of Rasmus Dahlin. And, I mean, I'm surprised Dahlin was still able to stand after that one. It was, and then he hit him twice. Hit him twice.
I'm going to start off with it. To be fair, Dahlin did hit him a few times first. He did cross-check him first. And then I think Matthews just got annoyed that there was no call on anything, so he kind of just went to go cross-check him in the head, which was really not a good call at all. But
I think that's Matthews' argument here, but I'd have to disagree with him. I mean, at no point in time, even if it's by accident, should you cross-check somebody else in the face, especially not in the National Hockey League, you know? And nobody's wearing cages. We don't have protection down there in the National Hockey League, and you know, I really do disagree with any argument that Matthews would have made. I think it's a good suspension. I think it's an easy middle. I don't think there's any really complaints about it. I don't really think it should be that much longer, but I think the two-game suspension is granted.
So I was seeing some people saying it should only be a fine. It definitely should be a suspension. I said this to actually Dan yesterday. He asked me how many games I think it should be. I said I think it should be about two games, and then a few hours later we got the notice that it was actually two games. So I was pretty spot on with that. I think anything more than two games is a little extreme, considering he's not a repeat offender. He's never done anything like that before. You know, he doesn't have any suspensions prior. So I think two games is fair. But we've also seen cross checks to the head that have also just been not suspendable. Like we've seen. Like in the playoff series against the Leafs last year, Wayne Simmonds got cross-checked in the head by Ben Chiarot, and he only got like a $5,000 fine for it, which I thought was a little ridiculous. But it was like the exact same play as that one, and there was no suspension for that. So I think it's two games is fair. I know people are going to make the argument that there's been worse than that hasn't been suspended, but as we know, the NHL suspensions are not consistent. You know, the league is not consistent with their rulings, and that's just a big issue in the league at the moment.
Well, I mean, I think you have to ask yourself what consistent means. I mean, are they consistent in the sense that they take their time to look at every single suspendable play and come to a honest agreement to it? I mean, it's not just one guy making the call. They're definitely not consistent in terms of, hey, this one was two games, so this one's also going to be two games. But, I mean, in terms of looking at it, the severity, I think it comes to the way. I don't like comparing plays together and then saying, well, this guy got suspended for this, but this guy didn't, you know? Even in the playoffs, it's a whole different story. I mean, they do tend to let things go in the playoffs a little bit more. I understand that's maybe something they shouldn't do, but they do. And, I could totally understand where your frustration would come from, though, from that, Greg.
No, yeah, for sure, but I do agree with you. As we said, it's not consistent. They're not consistent with a lot of things. There definitely needs to be a few rule changes, I think, in terms of, you know, like how stuff is being called and why it's being called. And if the officials call something on Dahlin for cross-checking Matthews a few times before that, then that doesn't happen, you know. But it's just Matthews actually doesn't get called. He never gets um, he He never draws penalties, which is weird considering he's a superstar in the league, and which is he's been getting frustrated lately because he doesn't get any calls, which I can understand, but definitely shouldn't be cross-checking people to the head. I'm not trying to make it sound good. Like, definitely shouldn't be doing that. But I could understand his frustration in that moment. All right. So we can move on to something else.
Yep.
What else is going on in the NHL right now?
Well, the Ottawa Senators have lost 3 games in a row. They lost to the Arizona Coyotes last night and the Chicago Blackhawks this weekend. And, it's definitely not a good look for the Senators, but they're all hard-fought games. I know a couple people that went to the Arizona game last night. And, Greg, I just wanted to have this conversation with you because you're a Leafs fan. I'm a Sens fan. I was getting heckled last night that the Sens suck for losing to the Arizona Coyotes by a Leafs fan. And I just showed him the score of when the Coyotes beat the Leafs as well. Do you think that, you know, that's equally as embarrassing?
I think it's definitely more embarrassing for us to lose to Arizona than you guys. But
wouldn't you say, I mean, and I think it would be really impressive if Arizona beat the Leafs, which they did. I think it was a bit of a cheap win on their end because they sort of got away with a couple things there in overtime. But
yeah.
I know, I was just trying to tell that, you know, it's expected that the Leafs beat the Coyotes without a doubt, you know? So when they lose, it's a bit of a shocker, whereas the Senators are not expected that, oh, they're going to win against this team. And as many times as I've said it, our team is not very good. Regardless of the talent that our team has, it's just not all clicked together this season. And we've also hit the injury bug, but nonetheless, I mean, I think my case in point, and Greg, you just agreed with me that, you know, the Leafs should not be losing to the Coyotes.
No doubt. We shouldn't be. The Leafs have actually been they've dropped quite a few games recently. They've not looked good at all. Their goaltending's been terrible. Their defense has been terrible. But I just want to go back to what you said about you said multiple times that you have said personally that the Sens are not a good team. I'm going to have to disagree with that because You never say that the Sens aren't a good team.
I rest my case. The Sens are not a good team this year, and that's why
despite
the talent that it has. And like I have said episodes. It multiple times, the Sens are a good team because when you look at paper, the talent that our team, you know, has, the talent that our team possesses, it's really surprising that our team just can't seem to put it together because I mean, I don't even think it's an arguable statement to say that our team has a lot of young talent, a lot of really good players like Tim Stützle and Thomas Chabot and Brady Tkachuk and things like that, as well as Alex Formanton, who's just coming up, and Josh Norris and Drake Batherson. They're all very, very good names, and they're all very talented hockey players. And I think it's really surprising why we haven't been able to sort of crack the top 20 in the league this year. I was expecting us to not make the playoffs, but sort of at least crack the top 20, and we're seeming to have struggles with that.
All right, well, we're going to shift gears now to more local sports. Thank you, Tyler, for joining us. We're going to get you off the line now. We're going to shift into the local sports, so thank you for joining us, and feel better.
Thanks for having me, and I hope to see you guys in the studio soon. My face is a balloon.
All right, well, that was Tyler Sear joining us, and we're going to shift to some local sports. So, Josh, you want to start us off with that?
Yeah, so Algonquin is back with sports. So it's kind of cool because we just made the change from the Algonquin Thunder to now the Algonquin Wolves. Our basketball team, at least in my memory, this is the best start we've had in a very long time. We're starting out the season. We're 6-2, 8 games played. We're averaging 83.9 points per game, so just 84 points, which is actually really good for an offense. They're shooting well from the field. They're shooting well from the three at 53% from the field, 31% from three. This team is looking like they can do a lot of damage. Their leading scorer is Zerius Looney. He's averaging 23.6 points per game, I believe. They have a lot of guys that I actually used to match up with way back in the day when I used to play basketball, so that's pretty cool. And they also have a lot of 7-footers, bro. Like they have like three or four guys over 6'9 for sure. They have one guy pushing that 7-foot mark, so this team looks like they can do some serious damage in the in their league this year. They're all conference games so far. I don't know how it's going to go in terms of COVID, if they're going to be able to go to other conferences at this first half of the year. And I mean, with the news we got yesterday with a potential strike coming, this might put a hold on the rest of their season. But yeah, right now they're looking like they're a legit contender. Their only losses are to Loyalist and I don't remember the other team they lost to, but they did lose two games. Let's see, Loyalist, and they lost to George Brown. But they've beaten a lot of good teams so far, and this team looks like they can do some serious damage. They made a few coaching changes in the last few seasons. That seems like it's working really well for them, and it seems like they just got a good constructed roster. Simon Desta, who's actually a veteran on this team, is averaging 20 points. Last year, I think he was averaging, like, the season they recently played, he was averaging, like, 25, 26. So he's just, like, a natural-born scorer. He's a really annoying guy to guard because he's very shifty and has a good quick jump shot. So, yeah, I think this team can go really far. It'll be interesting to see how they compare to some of the teams in different conferences, but I'm liking the looks of them so far. Another thing in Ottawa that is happening is the where is this conference? I believe Carleton's still undefeated, if I'm not mistaken. Don't think they've lost a game yet. I think Ottawa U has lost one game to Carleton. And, oh, this is hockey. That's why I can't find their teams. Men's basketball. But, yeah, Carleton's just looking like the favorite going into this championship coming up.
So, yeah, I've heard that Carleton is actually a really good team, and they've had a really good team for – is this, like their best team they've had in a while now, or
no,
have they always been good?
So, at least for me, because, like, I was born and raised in Ottawa, I say the best team that comes to mind when you think Carleton is the team with Tyson Hinds. He was a basketball player from Ottawa, born and raised. And, dude, this guy just – like, every game they played, it was, like, 40-50-point blowout no matter what. Like, no one was close to them in the league. This team, like, there are some teams that can compete. Like, Ottawa U can compete with them. They have a big down low who's really good. They have a lot of good guards. They have Ottawa U has a really good bench, but – the thing about Carleton that always separates them from everyone else is the coaching. Their coaching is so elite. Sorry, Ottawa U's actually dropped three games this year. Interesting. Carleton's 14-0. Seems like they're going to dominate again going into this OUA tournament. And I think it's next month they're playing. So, I mean, yeah, Carleton's the favorite. If you're going to bet on anything, you bet Carleton. I don't think you can. But if you can, bet Carleton. That's the simplest way to go.
So what do you think... We said Algonquin's having a pretty good year so far. What do you think their ceiling is? Like, what do you think is the farthest they can go in terms of this season?
As of right now, and unfortunately I haven't been able to get out and watch them play, which I'm actually trying to figure out when their next game is so I can go do that. It seems like with the way they're playing thus far, they can easily be a like conference final team, I think. I think they could really make a push for it. They have a lot of talent. They have a lot of bigs. They got a lot of size. So it's all just going to depend on how they play and how they continue to play. I know one thing with Algonquin in the past is in the first half of the season, they have a lot of guys being able to play, and then come second half, they're not able to because they flunk out of school, they don't want to play, whatever it is. So they always have this like big roster reconstruction midway through the season, but it seems like this team's really going to stick together and be able to compete at a very high level.
Any other news on any other local sports? We got about a minute here left to go.
Not to my knowledge. I think, you know, coming up this regular season, or sorry, in this offseason for Carleton, they're going to have quite a few guys leave the program. I know they have a few seniors graduating, but you also have guys of like Lloyd Pandy, who's in his third year, I believe. He might walk away and go to the professional route if he can get a team and overseas. Last year, he did play for the Niagara River Rats, and he got drafted third overall in the CEBL. So they have the rights to him, but if he gets a contract anywhere else, I don't see why he doesn't just walk away from the team and go play professional somewhere. But yeah, no, besides that, not much else to really report. Yeah, this OUA tournament's coming up soon, so that is taking place in Calgary, I believe it is this year. It should be a fun one. I think Carleton has a lock, though.
All right, we're going to throw it to a break. When we come back, we're probably going to have the hot topic for you, so stay tuned to the press box on CKDJ 107.9. Welcome back to the press box. I'm Greg Avgarapoulos. We're joined by Josh McGrath. Say again, we don't have our two hosts as we said earlier before, but we're going to jump into our hot topic. And our hot topic is going to be Josh. You want to introduce our hot topic today?
Yeah, we're going to debate, and we're actually going to switch it up a little bit because of what you just said. Is Kobe top 10 or top 5 all time? Because I think Kobe's top 3 all time.
Greg said I disagree. Actually,
Greg said he's top 10. So the reason I say Kobe is top 3 all time. He has the exact same skill set as what majority of people as basketball fans say is the best player of all time, Michael Jordan. Kobe was a better three-point shooter than Michael Jordan. He had more 40-point games. I'm 90% sure he definitely had more 70-plus point games because Kobe had an 81-point. Another thing is Kobe played in a harder era, in my opinion, because, yes, Jordan set the stepping stones for Kobe to be Kobe, but once Kobe started getting his own team and stuff, the league got way harder. He was just playing against way more talented people than Jordan ever was. Kobe's 5 championships, phenomenal. His last 2 were he was the best player on the team, and he had help, but I wouldn't say much help when you look at what they did after they left the Lakers. None of those guys ever were very good. And yeah, I think Kobe, just his work ethic, the way he approaches the game, similar to Jordan, where night in, night out, he's going to give you a hell of a time. And like me as a basketball player and play at a pretty decent level, like when you play against those guys, they're going to hit, you play great defense on them for them pretty much the whole shot clock. And then they take a nice step back and you're literally in their face and they still hit the shot. It's the most demoralizing thing. And Kobe will do that to you nonstop. And on top of that, just the way he, like his IQ of the game, his love of the game, everything. I think that also impacts it as well. But Greg, your counterpoint, sir.
Yeah, so I always think Kobe was a really good player. I never thought he was top 5. Obviously, I know you're a big Kobe guy, so I know you're probably fuming in the head right now. But
my God.
So I'm a big, also, we can, this is kind of a two-parter because we're also going to argue if LeBron is the best player of all time or not.
Yeah.
I think it's Jordan. I think Jordan's 1. I think LeBron's 2. And to be honest, I think even Shaq is a better all-time player than Kobe was. That's just my opinion. That's just what I'm going with. All right. That's just my. I know you disagree, but I mean, also, I think if you want to say like LeBron and Jordan are both way better defensively than Kobe ever was. I mean, LeBron. You're gonna disagree with that? You think Kobe was a good defender?
So Kobe played in an era where defensive player of the years only went to bigs. Jordan played, they didn't. But Kobe has 17 all defensive teams.
I know, but are you gonna say Kobe's a better defensive player than Michael Jordan ever was?
I'd say they're pretty equivalent.
You think it's close?
Yes, 110%.
Really?
110%, man.
Nah.
Go watch Kobe lock people up 84 feet night in, night out.
I can't do it.
He does it to everyone, man. Does it to everyone. Kobe was locked down on defense. He was locked down.
I wouldn't say locked down.
He was locked down.
He was a decent defender.
No, he was locked down.
I definitely wouldn't say he was a great defender.
He was locked down.
I can't do it, man.
I promise he was locked down.
Jordan, best player of all time. You know, 6 NBA Finals appearances. Didn't he win 6 championships in all those Finals appearances?
Correct.
Yeah. You know, wasn't he like... How many defensive player of all times did he win?
I think quite 1 or 2. No, I think he won 1 or 2.
It was only 1?
One
Are
or
you
2.
Sure about that? Or sorry, defensive all defensive team, all NBA defensive teams.
Oh,
he was on a bunch of those.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Him and Kobe were.
See, the thing I have with that argument is that Kobe is like literally followed his game after Michael all the time. So I can't say he's on his level or even better than him because he's literally just a copy and paste version of him. He was trying to be like him his whole career. And I think he was close to getting there. I think he was really good. I don't think he's better than him. I don't think he's near him. I think LeBron's still better than him all time. Obviously, 5 championships is a lot and everything, but I just can't because it's just he's just a prime copy and paste version of Michael Jordan, but he's not as good. So that's just where I stand on that.
You know? That's fair. I think my thing is just. Like when you watch Kobe, he had more of a bag than Jordan because he had to have more of a bag than Jordan. He had to be able to step out and shoot threes because he was at that turning point in his career where threes started getting more and more, or shot more and more. He went to the finals 6 times total, lost once. And he should have probably won that time and went 3 in a row, but he didn't because unfortunately, he decided to listen to all the people and be like, I'm going to pass the ball more. And then only shot like 8 shots or something in the game 7 of the finals. But then after that, he was big chilling. Yeah, Kobe has 12 all defensive teams.
That's quite a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
For 20 seasons, he missed it 8 times. And those were guaranteed the last 8 seasons he played. But I don't know. I think Kobe is definitely up there. I think he just had to have more of a bag than Jordan did because in the era he played, he and I think now he's fourth all time in scoring, but he was at one point one time, or third. He, in my opinion, he's got robbed of quite a few MVPs because there's a lot of times where the Lakers made the playoffs, and if you take Kobe off that team, they're the worst team in the league. And yeah,
I don't disagree with that because like there was a lot of Lakers teams where
they were not good.
They were terrible.
Dude, like Smush Parker, like that was terrible team. Like,
and they just had, I mean, obviously Kobe just carried them through quite a few seasons of their time. Kobe, obviously, one of the best players ever. I'm never going to say he's better than Jordan. I'm never going to say he's better than LeBron. I'm sorry. That's just where I stand on that. But yeah, I mean, obviously you disagree, but that's okay. You know, that's what we're here for. We argue. Yeah,
I think Kobe's two. My number one player of all time, and this is purely because of that 3-1 comeback, is LeBron James. Because LeBron, the thing that he does really well and he's done for a very long time was like he has like three different parts of his career. So he has like the early part where he was like a Jordan and Kobe, like he just balled out, scored massive buckets. And then when he went to Miami, he kind of learned how to be a facilitator more, playing with more talent, didn't need to, you know, score 27 30 points every single time, have those massive 50 point games and stuff. He still did, but didn't need to as much. And then defensively, he's really good when he wants to play defense.
When he wants to.
He's obviously he's one of the only athletes besides like Tom Brady, I'd say, that's like defeating Father Time in that race of how long can I go.
He might even play like four more seasons. You never know.
Could. Yeah.
He said he wants to play when Bronny's in the league. So
yeah, and that's
gonna be like what? And I don't think Bronny's good enough to make it to the league. But
he's still growing.
He's still growing. I don't think he'll ever be good. Like he'll make it probably just because of who he is.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's gonna be a good NBA player per se. Yeah. But
probably not. Maybe. You never know.
But yeah. I'm gonna go Jordan. Obviously, as I said, you know, six finals appearances, six wins. LeBron's never going to do that. You know, doesn't LeBron have a losing record in the finals?
He does. But this is my thing, is his losses in the finals are like, okay, it's obviously, in my opinion, probably one of the most meaningful championships of all time, the Dallas Mavericks, where like they shouldn't have, no way the Heat should have lost that, but they did because Dirk Nowitzki's a god.
He was so good in that series.
Dude, he's just good in general.
Yeah, he's just so good.
In my opinion, he's second best power forward all time, but
yeah, that's fair. A
whole other discussion.
Tim Duncan won.
Yeah.
Yep.
People say KG over him, but I'm like, dude, no. I'm like, no. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so there's that loss. He lost to the Warriors, like literally the best team of all time. But then he beat literally the best team of all time with that 73-9 record, 73-9 record after being down 3-1. And that was one.
That was pretty
That remarkable. Was a series, yeah. Man, where I remember sitting there and I watched every game. And it was game seven. And I was like, Warriors got this one. And all of a sudden, it was like that stalemate. It was like 4 minutes, neither team scored. And then it was a block by James. And I was like, dude, this guy has to be the GOAT. And he had like a 54-point performance in that game. I was like, dude, there's no way. Like, he just lost to so many great teams where his team was like mediocre. And I think he's the GOAT. Like, he keeps doing all these great things, obviously. This might be only the second time in his career he misses the playoffs. Maybe third, because I think he missed it his rookie year. But yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did miss the playoffs.
Yeah, so this will be his third time in his career that he misses the playoffs. Probably, I don't think they're going to make it this year. I think they're going to lose
in the play-in. I don't think so either. Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to lose in the play-in, whoever they verse.
Pelicans? Pelicans are going to beat them. Zion's first game back in the season. Maybe the
Clippers, who knows, something like that.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to lose in the play-in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just don't know. I obviously, don't get me wrong, when I was watching that series, I was like, good Lord, LeBron is – I didn't think he was number two at the time. I'm like, he definitely moved himself into number two during that. I'm like, I don't think it'd be better than Jordan. I mean, obviously Jordan did have a lot of good players on his team. He had Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, obviously, to help him out. But I mean, LeBron had, you know, when he was on the Cavs, he had Kyrie, you know, he had Kevin Love, he had, you know, all those players. I mean, obviously they didn't have, the Cavs weren't a great like a roster, but he did have, like, would I call Dennis Rodman a superstar? I don't think he was a superstar. He was just like a really good rebounder and a good defender.
Yeah.
But like, and obviously Scottie Pippen's a really good defender as well. But like, Kyrie is a superstar, and Kevin Love was, like, in Minnesota. He was a superstar, and then when he got to the Cavs, he kind of fell off a little bit. Still really good, though. And, yeah, I mean, the Cavs were, like, it's not like they didn't have a good team. They had a good team. Like, they had a good starting lineup. Yeah. And, like, I just feel like Jordan just, like, I feel like he put the team on his back so many times in his career where it's, like, even though he had good players, obviously, but he just put the team on his back, whether it was, like, with passing or like the like defense, like anything, like scoring, anything. Like, he does it all versus like LeBron, as you said, he gets lazy on defense sometimes. Like, he doesn't want to play. Like, sometimes
but
he's selective with when he wants to play defense. And that's just.
This is another thing, though, is so this is always the argument, and for a long time I had that battle, right? Like, it wasn't until like pretty recent, like 2016, where I was like, yeah, LeBron's finally the GOAT for me, is because Jordan, like, we give a lot of credit to Jordan going 6-6 in the finals, but at the same time, when you look at it, you're like, how many times did he lose in the first round, second round? Like, he didn't even get to the finals. Where LeBron, it's like he's consistently making that walk. Like, he's walking through a whole conference. Like, people were literally like, I need to get out of here so I don't play LeBron.
Yeah,
that's fair. And then they went and ran to the Warriors. But, like, people weren't doing that for Jordan. All the teams back then were, like, pretty much the same teams for, like, Jordan's career.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, the same matchups all the time. There wasn't a lot of movement back then. Where now it's like, yeah, he played in a weaker conference at the time, but he made a cakewalk to the finals no matter what. Like, if LeBron was on a team in the East, you're literally just like, LeBron is walking through. He terrorized 15 teams or 14 teams for like
18, especially the Raptors.
17, yeah.
He killed us.
A lot of times.
Trust me.
I used to
be a huge Raptors fan, obviously. And I'm not a huge Raptors fan anymore. I don't really watch too many of the games. I still watch them, but not like as consistently as I used to. But, oh, man, there was when he beat us those three like straight years or whatever it was, oh my goodness, I was just like, I hate this guy so much.
Yeah,
I just hate this guy so much.
And yeah, I just think people give Jordan credit for the rings, which he should, but the rings are a team accomplishment. And
yeah,
when you look at it though, it's like when LeBron's won his ring in Cleveland specifically, yes, Kyrie played out of his mind as well, but like that, in my opinion, was still all him. Like the way he did all the little things to help that team win those games was insane.
So you think it was still all him, even though Kyrie was like hit the game and shot in game seven.
That was Kyrie. Like, yes, he put on that performance with no block by James.
Fair.
It's different. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
To me, it's just the little things he did, like getting the extra passes in, diving on the ground for loose balls, rebounding the ball like he did, getting like 14, 15 assists every single game almost. Like, he averaged a triple double. And yes, Kyrie did Kyrie. LeBron just said, go to work. Like, they can't guard you. And, which was true, but I think it was still like more credit to Bron than Kyrie.
All right, well, this is I think we're going to be at a little bit of a stalemate here because I still think Jordan's GOAT. You still think LeBron's a GOAT, but it's okay. You still think Kobe's number two. I still think he's not top five. So
exactly,
it's okay. You know, it was a good argument. This has been the Press Box with just two of us here, Greg Avgaropoulos and
Josh McGrath.
So yeah, join us next week, next Thursday. At 1 p.m. and Saturdays at 11 a.m. And yeah, this has been the Press Box. See you next week, everybody.